Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, it's Francis Lamb, and welcome to Splendid Table Selects, our mini-podcast where we share the interviews that inspired us or taught us something new. Bob's Red Mill is our presenting sponsor, and they're an employee-owned company that for decades has been offering organic, gluten-free, and stone-ground products, and they're experts at making healthy taste amazing. We'll tell you more about Bob's Red Mill later, but first, let's get to the show. This week, we are featuring a conversation with the legendary Patti LaBelle. Now, Miss LaBelle is an iconic singer, as we all know. Oh, my own. She is so good, dude. But what you might not know is that Patti is nearly as passionate about cooking as she is about music. She's written three cookbooks, and our contributor Shauna Seaver spoke to Patti from New York City. Here's their conversation.
Well, Miss Patti LaBelle, it is wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
I read once that you said that you think you cook better than you sing. Is this even possible? Is this true?
I think it's true. I mean, I can cook my face off. And I can also sing my face off, too. But
yes, you can.
I think I've been cooking longer than I've been singing. So I think that tops it.
Well, it's so obvious from this book that you are as passionate about the art of hospitality as you are about the art of music. And to me, both of those arts are about feeding people in different ways, serving them, elevating life. Do you draw that comparison? And I was wondering, what is it about you or and your upbringing that makes both of these arts have such an importance in your life?
Well, in my upbringing, I was a very shy child. I stayed under my mother's apron in the kitchen. I learned to cook most things from her and my father. And I think I was born to cook and born to sing.
But what is it? Do you think that there's a connection between the two?
Between the singing and the cooking? I don't think so. I mean, I really don't think so. I do everything separate. It's like when I perform on stage, it's to that audience. Although I do want to please the audience, I want to make them smile as I do when they taste my food. I want to see a smile and I want to hear more and more and more. So I get ovations, you know, and they do call me back. And when I make the food for my friends, the desserts or whatever, they call for more. So I guess in that way, yeah.
Well, you can't blame them because this is a book full of home-baked classics. And I noticed that a lot of the ingredients in the book are just pantry staples, nothing too fancy or hard to get. And I was wondering why this is such a signature part of your cooking and baking style.
Well, I'm a basic cook. I don't measure. You know, I have soul drops. When someone says, well, how many did you use for that peach cobbler? How many measurements, like real measurements, like they use a measuring cup. And I'll tell them that I just use my soul and my feeling, and I just drop stuff in and drop it like it's hot. And it's basic. You know, you don't have to go all around buying fancy stuff and stuff.
Can you tell us about some of your earliest baking memories?
Earliest. Can I give you my earliest cooking story
course.
First?
Earliest I food was, memories.
Okay. My shyness kept me in the house all the time with my little dog and cat. And I would go to the garage. We had like a little back house. And I would take ketchup and different things, hot sauces and salt and pepper, and create my own little red sauces. And the dog, I never let them taste it because it was kind of spicy, but my dog gave me the bark of approval. So I knew I was good. It was good. And that's how I started. And then being with my mom and my father and another lady who lived with us, Naomi, they were some of the best cooks around. And that's when I really, really started.
What do you think it is about baking and sweets in particular that makes for such easy storytelling? Because this book is so full of beautiful stories.
Well, baking, it brings pleasure to people. Baked items, sweet items. And I always say that I do prepare a sweet for other folks, but I use agave and some sugar, you know, substitutes because I am a diabetic. But I can give you anything you want. I can make you everything, the macaroni and with seven cheeses, but I don't have to eat it. And I just love preparing food for people. And it's been in my family forever.
The desserts are especially powerful, I notice, when there's a crowd. You can really draw a crowd when you put a great dessert out.
You sure can. It's pleasant.
It elevates the everyday, just like great music, right?
It sure does.
Now, it's clear in this book how important your family and friends are to you, but also the starring role that food plays in fostering those relationships. And you share lots of stories about that in the book. Can you share some examples of that?
Sure. My sister Jackie brings back most memories, and I most talk about that whenever I have a conversation like this. I was always the cook in the family. My three sisters, they didn't cook at all. And she loved my egg and bacon sandwiches with buttered toast. And she was at a hospital 5 minutes away from my home in Philadelphia. And I would see her every day that I could when I was home. And then I went on tour. And when I got back this particular day, I was beat up. I was so tired. And she called and asked, could she have one of my bacon and egg sandwiches? And I said, oh, honey, can I please bring it tomorrow? And she said, okay. I got a phone call from my aunt and said, don't bring the sandwich. Your sister passed about 20 minutes ago. And so whenever I make a red velvet cake, that was one of her favorites too. It gives me, it's like redemptive. I think of Jackie and I say, I hope she's forgiven me. And that's a pretty sad story, but it's real.
No, but it's a powerful story, and that's so true of our time in the kitchen, I think, for a lot of people. And in the book, you say that, I love this line, recipes have the amazing power to bring loved ones back to us, if not literally, then certainly emotionally, psychologically, and sometimes mystically. And you say that in relation to your chocolate bread pudding. Can you tell us about that?
That was something that I made for my son's friends back in the day, and they all, like, hollered and screamed after they tasted it, and they loved it. And then I have a good friend, Luther Vandross, who loved that also. What happened with Luther is he would say, bring me some lamb chops and bring me that chocolate bread pudding also. So, you know, when he was in a facility, I went and saw him a lot, and I brought that, and he said a woo, woo, woo or something when he ate it. It was one of his phrases or something. He was just pleased. And I love to bring pleasure to faces and taste buds. And I love for you to say, oh, my God, what's this recipe? Or could I have seconds or thirds or whatever, take some home? Yeah. So all that stuff gives me joy.
Now, this is your fourth cookbook. And there are a lot of celebrity cookbooks out there these days. And I imagine it must be a challenge to try and do something new and set a book apart, maybe kind of like how it's difficult to put out albums in a crowded field.
Yeah.
Do you think about that at all when you're making the book, or do you just tune that out?
No, to be honest, I do me. Whatever Patty thinks is right, I'll do it. And I'm not competing with anyone, nor trying not to make the same thing they made, because most of the times we all make the same desserts, you know. And but I just believe in mine, you know. And I believe, I was watching, oh my God,
Valerie Bertinelli.
Yes. And she was making her pasta the same way she did her meatballs. It was the same exact way I did mine. And I said, oh, that's fun. You know, I love to see comparisons, you know, and what little different things she did with her meatballs that I didn't do with mine or whatever. And I just go on and create. And I'm very spontaneous at the stove. You know, when you say, okay, let me try a little of oregano in this or whatever. Just try different things and you get a different taste every time. And I'm very pleased with most of the ingredients that I used.
Well, I'm impressed with you because you're as good of a cook, a savory cook, as you are a baker. And usually there's the baker mentality and the cook mentality, but you seem to be able to go between both with ease.
I try. I do try.
I was wondering, I did want to ask you, in such a legendary life where you've accomplished so much and seen so much, what is even left to do? Is there anything new you would like to master in the kitchen?
No.
No.
I don't think so. No. No. I think I've done as much as I want to do in the kitchen so far, as far as books and I think no.
Well, you really have done it all. Thank you so much for talking with us, Patty. You. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was the legendary Patty LaBelle with our friend Shauna Seaver. You can head to our website, splendidtable.org, to find out more about Patty's latest book, Desserts LaBelle, and to find some of her recipes, including her famous sweet potato pie. Patty! Mm. Okay, so Patty is a natural baker, and I am definitely not. But I do know the difference using a quality flour makes, and Bob's Red Mill's organic all-purpose flour is a premium baking flour freshly milled from hard red wheat. You can use it in all kinds of baking, like yeast breads, quick breads, biscuits, muffins, cookies, cakes, and pie crust. You can find out a whole lot more about Bob's Red Mill's premium baking flours and their other products at bobsredmill.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.